Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and today we're talking with one of our favorite men, a Randall County Extension agent down there in Canyon, Texas, Mr. J.D. Raglan. J.D., how are you doing today?
Hey, doing great, Bryson. Always a pleasure to be with you, and man, we're very blessed to you know, it is getting close to harvest season, so 'tis the season, and we're excited about that. But more importantly, we're excited to bring some good information about agriculture to our listeners out there and all the things that are going on agriculture-wise, not only in Randall County, but throughout the High Plains.
Well, like you said, it is harvest season. We got a lot of things going on in the agricultural industry. We got silage harvest happening for some corn people out there. We've got cotton. We already had our first bale strip down there in Seminole. We've got sorghum going on at the same time, wheat planting happening. JD, how are things looking like for all those commodities out there here in the High Plains and in Randall County?
Well, you know, Bryson, this time of the year, it's always a sword with two sharp edges because we've got our wheat producers out there that are needing some rainfall to get their either recently planted or soon-to-be-planted wheat up and going. And then we've got our guys conducting harvest, as you mentioned. We've got silage harvest going on as we speak, and soon we'll be getting into corn harvest. So we've got that those guys that probably need it to kind of remain at least dry. And then we've got our cotton guys that are wanting to kind of finish up their season, and they're asking for those that actually do have some cotton, they're needing to maybe continue to ask for most of the summer, that the tail end of summer anyway, in terms of weather and temperatures, where we can get the last-minute bowls to develop and be ready for harvest just around the corner with our cotton as well.
Well, J.D., you know, it's been a struggling year for farmers across the board. No matter what you are planting, what you're growing, or what you're raising at the same time, drought and input costs have been outrageous for some of these producers. But how do kind of some of the yields look across the board for everybody, and maybe some of those wheat producers that are getting planted right now, how are they kind of looking out on the future aspect?
Yeah, well, Bryson, you know, you mentioned it's no hidden secret. We've been struggling with the drought situation for nearly a year and a half now, 18 months or so, and certainly that has been hard on everyone. A lot of crops were maybe not even, well, they were planted but then had difficulty getting it up and going, either from hail out or wind blowout or drought out. So all those factors have certainly been devastating to our producers out there. As we talk about specifically various different crops, we'll start with our cotton situation. Our cotton situation for those guys out there that maybe perhaps do still have some cotton, the cotton looks fairly decent in most cases. It's only those fields that have been irrigated that producers are going to have a crop to harvest. And for those that do have some, you know, yields are shaping up to be good on our cotton. I'm not saying great. We're anticipating average at best, but certainly an opportunity to capitalize, particularly when we look at the market side of our cotton. You know, price outlook looks good. I think we're going to be, at least in the High Plains and South Plains region, we're going to be down in terms of acres harvested this year, no doubt. Many situations where guys planted dry land didn't even come up. So acres of harvest on our cotton side are going to be limited. But, you know, this we've also encouraged, like I mentioned, most of our cotton guys that do have cotton are those that's been irrigated. We pretty much encourage producers to shut off their irrigation. There's really no economic benefit to irrigate any cotton much past September 15th, 10th, or 15th. So most of the irrigation on our cotton situation has been wrapped up at this point in time. Now we're just at the point where some of our crops, cotton that is, the bolls are beginning to open and are continuing to develop, that many producers are going to be applying cotton harvest aid materials to shut down and start defoliating that crop where harvest can begin. And, you know, our cotton crop, for those that do have it, like I mentioned, we're looking at maybe average at best. We know yield is going to be down some. Some cases throughout the High Plains and even the South Plains region might even have an opportunity to make above average yields this time. You know, normally in the High Plain region, particularly on the irrigated side, we generally shoot for average of two plus bales per acre, 2.5 to 3 on the irrigated side, particularly if you got drip irrigated. And I think we'll meet that. I think we'll definitely meet average, you know, above average in some places maybe. But we know in terms of total acres, we're going to be limited on our cotton. So it's for those that do have a cotton crop out there, it looks like they've got a chance to at least capitalize on average yield, which on the irrigated side, average in our part of the world usually is somewhere between a 2 and 3 bale per acre average. As we look at our corn, you know, silage is being chopped as we speak. Silage yields are down. That primarily had to do with the drought and the stress conditions with our silage throughout the growing season. So yields are going to be down there. We know that for a fact. Our corn is definitely going to be down as well because it was just simply too hot and too dry through the summer months to be able to capitalize on some really good yields this year. We had some insect pressure throughout the growing season that's going to impact our corn also. So we know that's going to be the case with both silage and corn. As we take a look at our wheat producers out there, you know, the scattered rains that we received 2 weeks ago, you know, Mother Nature turned off hot and dry, as we know that she can do real quickly. And in those situations, man, it's just turned off hot and dry, and simply you're going to be difficult until we receive more moisture to get that wheat crop up and going with a lot of growth and activity. We've talked about on the show before, many of our producers out there plant early planted wheat, even some as early as August 15th. They do that to be able to capitalize on establishing some early grazing because a good portion of our wheat in the Texas High Plains is utilized for stocker cattle grazing. So it's important for our producers to try to get an early wheat crop going and get some early grazing going. However, from the AgriLife Extension side, we don't really recommend planting wheat in August. There's just too many risks. Number one, it stays hot. Number two, you got to increase infestation or concerns about insect pressure that you'll have when it's still warm. So we generally try to hold producers off ideally until October 1. We know that's not realistic. We know that producers out there need to be able to get some wheat going for their stocker cattle operations. We understand that. But right now, with the weather conditions that we had, you know, hot, dry weather, if some producers have got some wheat planted out there, unless it's under irrigation, it's struggling right now, and it really needs a good drink from Mother Nature to help it progress. And then also, we know that a lot of wheat producers are waiting till we receive some moisture before they begin to plant, particularly in dry land situations. So we've got a lot of producers that are really getting anxious to put seed in the ground, but we got to have some moisture readily available to get that crop up and going, and that's what we're waiting on. I know our weather forecast is maybe calling for an opportunity of some moisture, maybe perhaps through the remainder of this week and into the weekend. And certainly it would be a blessing, particularly for our wheat producers. As I said, this time of the year, moisture is kind of a sword with two sharp edges, depending on what we're trying to do out there on the farm, whether it be harvest or maybe get enough moisture where we can plant some wheat. So it's a mixed bag. But, you know, Bryson, in our part of the world, it's really hard to turn down any moisture when Mother Nature wants to bring it to us.
I couldn't agree with you more. Whatever Mother Nature can give us, we'll take it. And it's important that we always make sure that we're utilizing whatever she gives us to the best ability that we can. And another thing that's happening besides, you know, harvest time, we're about to have some of these cattle producers start turning out some cattle for the winter to get them, you know, buy and get them sold later on to the feedlots for these stocker or cow-calf operations, whatever it may be. But we've talked a lot about this on the show of making sure that you get your tests done, whether that's for hay, whatever grazing you're doing, for some nitric acid or prussic acid to be more exact in that aspect. JD, can you talk a little bit about how important it is to get these tests done? Make sure that producers are getting those jobs done to prevent some future problems that could occur by not doing that.
Yeah, that's right, Bryson. We can't encourage or remind producers enough out there that, you know, we need to get these tests done, particularly in situations where you might be going to be grazing some stalks. Certainly we want to make sure that prussic acid level is low and our nitrate levels are low, because if not, that can really cause some detrimental impact on our cattle as we turn them out. Toxicity, high volumes of toxicity, intake of poisonous plants, whether that be plants with prussic acid and nitrates at high levels, can cause death to our cattle. And the only way we know what those levels are is to conduct a test. They're real simple to do. What we encourage producers to do is take random samples of a given field or a given situation. And, you know, we like to say, you know, walk in a field of 20 to 30 paces, take four or five random plant samples. I always like to tell producers, take you some either black electrical tape or even some gray tape, bundle that up, do that at about two or three locations within a given field. And the very best thing you can do is take those samples up, or we can assist you with that. Take them up to Servitech Lab in Amarillo that's on Bell Street. You'll have to go in there, fill out an information sheet. You'll need to make sure that you tell them what crop it is. You'll need to tell them what kind of tests you want done. And I would highly encourage producers to check the box on the information sheet that you want prussic acid test as well as nitrate test. You can usually get those results back within a week, if not sooner, from the lab. They can either email them to you, they can mail them to you in direct mail, or you can call them back to get those results over the phone. The results will come back to you in parts per million of prussic acid and nitrates. There's various different levels. There's a safety level. Anything that tests 700 or below in parts per million are considered to be safe. You'll get up into what is called a cautionary stage. I believe that amount goes up to about 1,200, and then about 1,400 to 1,800 parts per million is considered the dangerous level amounts. And so when you get your results back, you'll want to make sure that you study that data and make sure that you have a good understanding of what level that is. Also, we encourage producers, as they're looking at maybe baling hay, or whether, you know, you're baling it or maybe you're going to feed it later, to always get a test done. If you're buying hay or purchasing hay, find out from the person that's selling it. If they've had a test done, if they haven't, ask them to do that and know what you got before you purchase. Because, like I said, the last thing we want to do is be feeding some sort of forage and it be high levels of either nitrate or prussic acid and, you know, possibly causing death to our cattle. We want to try to eliminate that. Real simple to do. All you got to do is make sure you get a test done prior to either turning out and or grazing. And then finally, Bryson, we want to make sure that producers understand that Johnson grass, this time of the year, particularly after the first killing frost, can have high levels of toxicity. So if you are in a given pasture or a field situation where Johnson grass may be heavy, you want to take a strong look at that. Depending on the situation, you know, there's limited things a producer can do, but know that if that field is filled with a lot of Johnson grass, that could cause issues as well. So be sure and have you a plan in place to, number one, get a test, but number two, know the field, know the situation, know the hay that you're buying and what the test results are on any or all of the above.
Like JD said, it's a simple, easy solution that can be done to save plenty of head of cattle. Make sure you get it done. It's simple little things to prevent future problems from happening. But JD, we forgot to mention you're out and about right now and you're at the Tri-State Fairgrounds. What's going on up there? I know you got some kiddos showing throughout Randall County and throughout the High Plains. What's going on out there at the Tri-State Fairgrounds?
Yeah, well, we're always excited each and every year. The Tri-State Fair, as it's an opportunity for a lot of our youngsters that exhibit livestock to showcase their animals and their hard work and effort. The fair has been going all week. We've had various shows. We started earlier in the week with our lamb and goat shows. We had a lot of kids that participated in that, not only through Randall County. We're happy to have captured in Randall County anyway the Grand and Reserve Grand goat, junior market goat, and we were excited about that. As we moved into our lamb show, we had a lot of 4-H kiddos in Randall County that did extremely well, had some division champions and reserve champions there, and then our swine show was held on Sunday this past week. And we were fortunate enough to capture a couple of breed champions, reserve breed champions as well. As we finish up this week, we'll be finishing up with our junior market steer show, which is Saturday. We're going to have a huge show. We've got just a little over 400 head of junior market steers that were pre-entered. And generally speaking, we'll have somewhere around 360 of those, give or take, show up. And, you know, we're excited about the fair each and every year. It's a community event. The fair has had a long time history of providing great agricultural exhibition and education within the fair. And, Bryson, you might already know this, but the fair management here is already planning for next year. As next year, 2023, will mark the 100th year anniversary of the Tri-State Fair. So there's some celebration plans already being made and are in progress to be able to showcase next year as well as this year, but in particular next year as we reach that 100th year anniversary.
Well, I got to say, congratulations to those kiddos who showed some sheep, goats, pigs. I know how hard it is. I showed cattle. I know the time, effort, money, and everything else that goes in between to do a livestock project. It takes a lot of time and effort. So congratulations to those kiddos, and good luck to those cattle showers out there. I know how double hard it is to make sure getting those cattle ready, and especially being up here in the High Plains, getting some hair on them. It's an effort. So I know, but congratulations to those kids and good luck to some of those kiddos still showing. But JD, if anybody has any questions about Texas AgriLife or needs to get a hold to Randall County AgriLife Extension, how can they do so?
Yeah, real simple to do, Bryson. First and foremost, they can just give us a call at our extension office there, located 200 North Brown Road in Canyon, Randall County Extension Office at 806-468-5543. They can also keep up with us and all the ongoings within Randall County Extension on our website at randall.agrilife.org, or they can simply stop by, pay us a personal visit there at our office, once again located 200 North Brown Road. We'll be glad to assist them and help them with any issues or concerns they may have.
As always, JD, thank you so much for coming out, taking a little time to talk about agriculture and having a good old time. Don't have too much fun at the Tri-State Fairgrounds without us. And good luck to those kids as always. But thank you, JD, for doing what you do for Texas AgriLife and those kiddos out there.
You bet, Bryson. Always a pleasure to visit with you. And we look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. Don't forget, there is a new episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, that has dropped yesterday morning. We're talking meat myth busting with Jess Prills, a huge influencer in the meat science industry and beef cattle producers. She's working with the Texas Beef Council on a Hulu show called Barbie Quest. You've probably heard of it before. Now they're calling it Beyond the Pit, talking with farmers, ranchers, talking about feedlots, meat processing plants, everything else in between. So make sure you catch it on Hulu and catch her on social media, Jess Prills and Hardcore Carnivore. Of course, there is an afternoon show today that will be happening. Of course, it'll be cut a little short with the Texas Rangers, but make sure that you catch us this afternoon. But until then, I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Thursday morning.